And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, the co-host, and with me today will be Emilio Dinello. In this episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham on the road against Charlton Athletic. We'll also have another edition of the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. I think we have two great topics to discuss today. We'll also play Kit's audio clip that actually was done earlier today. The video is actually on the Fulham website, but we have the audio clip, and we will be playing it in a little bit. But before we do anything else, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. It's been a little while. Emilio, how you doing, my friend?
Good evening. Good, Russ. Nice to speak to you again. Nice to be on the show. It's a Friday evening here. We've had a nice week of sunny weather here in London. So, yeah, looking forward to speak about Fulham Football Club and hope you reflect more on the positives rather than some of the negatives. I know people are probably bored of me saying that when I'm on the show, but it's, we're not as bad as maybe some of the reports are suggesting. But, yeah, let's looking forward to the show.
Listen, I'm looking forward to the show as well, Emilio. And it's funny because I'm going to say this from the get-go. We're going to be previewing the Charlton match. And I really looked at them today. I spent some time really doing some research on them and also watching some video. And I actually have a good feeling about this match. We'll talk about that a little bit. I also have a good feeling about Fulham in general. And one of the roundtable questions is a very good one that we'll go through, and we'll talk about your feelings, my feelings, and what the Fulham supporters feel about Fulham Football Club at this moment. So why don't we do this? We're going to go right into the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. And let's start with this question first that I posed to the Fulham supporters. But I'll start with you, Emilio. If you were the manager, who would you take the place of Tom Kearney while he is suspended for three matches?
Interesting question. I think it's obviously we all know that Tom Kearney rightfully deserved his red card on Tuesday night. And, it was a silly foul, unnecessary, not in a dangerous area of the pitch. And, Kit's got a bit of a challenge, but I think Kit will play fairly safe. I don't think he's going to take, any risks, in my opinion. He's not a risk taker, as we well know. And I think you'll see the Charlton game as an opportunity to ease a player back in. My view, he'll probably end up playing LBC. I think LBC has not been at his best this season or the second half of last season, but I'm not sure he's actually going to take many risks. It was either that or Kavanagh's one who I potentially thought he could be using, because Kavanagh has been on the bench in recent games, but actually hasn't had any game time, hasn't come on a substitution. So my view, Kit will play it safe, I don't think make many changes to the lineup this weekend against Charlton. I actually think he'll find some room to play LBC and give him back a starting berth in the squad.
Okay, fair enough. And listen, when I read out the comments from the Fulham supporters, you're going to hear many as being LVC. But I'm going to throw out a scenario to you that I've been thinking about. And again, Ryan Fredericks got injured in the last match, and when I play Kit's audio clip, he's going to mention that he hopes that he will be available for Sunday's match. But if I'm looking at these three matches, Emilio, could you see a possibility, maybe not in these three matches, but at some point, Ryan Fredericks in midfield and Jazz Richards at right back?
Yeah, I did think that. I think the reason why I sort of leaned for that formation not to happen was, I think it'd be probably a little bit suicidal and foolish to play Fredericks this weekend. It was very obvious he wasn't fit on Tuesday night. And with Jad Richards now available to start the game, I think he will start, as a fullback this weekend. As a result, I think Fredericks will either be rested or possibly on the bench, but I don't think he'll start. I'd be very surprised if Kit will go in with a sort of bullish lineup. But then again, look on the other flip side. Charlton have a vulnerable defence. They're not playing as well as they were last season. I don't think they've won a game since the end of August. So Fulham fans are querying how strong or effective we are. Then you should look no further than Charlton Athletic, who've had a bad run over the last 5-6 weeks. So definitely a winnable game. Will Kit take those risks? I'm not sure he will. I think he's going to sort of play the easy option. This game is winnable, but I don't think we're going to see anything controversial. I think he'll play safety first, what he's renowned for, to be honest.
I tend to agree with you on that, but again, I'm trying to think a little bit outside the box, Mill. We've already seen it once, and again, I'm thinking, especially against a team that is vulnerable defensively, why not have someone that really has pace at the wing? And then, of course, you have Jazz Richards, who's solid in the back. Again, you can have, you could have that partnership. I could see at some point that partnership taking off for a little bit. I'm not saying that would be the permanent partnership, because you're going to have Tom Kearney there, but it is just an option. And then I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, maybe that would be a better option maybe for, you know, if it was a home game this weekend, I thought maybe actually could be a little bit more bullish and
sure.
take that option and play Ryan Fredericks in midfield. But I know, I think with the injury that he's carrying, you know, I think it'll be a little bit maybe too risky and suicidal to start him in the starting 11 on Sunday. I'd rather we protect him, preserve him, and if we need to use him, let's take him off the bench and give us a different dimension. But I think we still have enough quality in the squad that we don't have to rely on Ryan Fredericks. You know, he had a good game against QPR. You know, he had some good moments there, some strong moments. You know, there's a few weaknesses that, you know, that were evident in that game which haven't necessarily been discussed because obviously we won comfortably against QPR, but he had a very poor game on Tuesday night. We understand why that was the case, but let's not get carried away with Ryan Fredericks quite yet. In the day, he's a different player to Jazz Richards, but I think we just need to be a little bit sitting on the fence and saying he's a different option to Jazz Richards, but he's maybe not necessarily the long-term answer. We need to give him more games, give him more time, and we can judge thereafter. But at the moment, I think we're over-exaggerating the quality he brings to the squad. I'm still sitting on the fence. I've only seen him play twice, and therefore that's not enough to comment on how effective he can be long-term.
Listen, I hear you. I'm just throwing it out there as a potential option. I'm not saying that I would go with that option. In fact, I do agree with you because I would go with LVC. I was just trying to think of a situation outside the box that could be a little bit different. That's why I thought, you know what, maybe at some point you bring up valid points why it probably will not be on Sunday. But who knows, maybe over the course of the three games he tinkers with it. But like you said, Kit tends to play it pretty conservatively, Emil, and you could very well be right. But if you're asking me, I think it will be LVC, and I'm for it to be LVC. Here's what the Fulham supporters had to say. Yavor Alexiev said it will have to be LVC. Grant Harris said LVC, he has a bit of pace and athleticism, and we'll need that. Another chance for him to show he's up for the challenge of starting duties. Reg Hall says, yep, LVC for me. Now, Ian Neberhand said Scott Parker. Belinda Shackson said Parker. Tomina Robbins said LVC. Tom Ward said LVC. Roger Lewis said either Parker for half and then LVC or the other way around. And Will John said LVC till 70 minutes and then bring on Scott Parker. Mm-hmm. All right, Emil, what are your thoughts about what the Fulham supporters had to say?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I don't disagree with that. I did think about giving Scott Parker a starting position on Sunday against one of his former clubs as well. So, but I think it might be a game or two too early for Scott Parker. But, you know, I like the idea of LBC. He's got the opportunity to prove his worth. You know, he's had a disappointing start this season. Never really regained his, you know, his fitness, in my opinion, the second half of last year. This is his chance to grab that opportunity. And with any job, you know, you have to grab the opportunities when they come. And obviously, he really hasn't done that in the substitute appearances he's made in recent games or even the starting positions he's had in the early part of the season. So he has been dropped. He's likely to start on Sunday. And maybe this is his opportunity to make a difference and actually, you know, just, you know, make it a seamless transition from Kearney to LVC. LVC just needs to get more into the games. His final ball has been poor this season. I think that's something I've noted quite a few games. He's often got in some good positions, but just that final ball has been a bit disappointing, to say the least. So he's still young, let's not forget. He's only, what, 21 years of age, and he's got a great career ahead of him, but we have to nurture these young chaps. I think that's the difference by having a Kit Simons or someone of a more experienced figure leading the squad. And I think if we don't mould the likes of LVC and some of the other players, then we risk losing them. You know, cause I think that they should be doing better than their performances suggest. And, you know, we should be doing better than 14th in the table.
Listen, I completely agree with you, Emilio. You know, it's funny, you know, David, our co-host, would always say the table never lies. And he's right about that. Listen, they are where they are, but that doesn't mean that I can't say that they should be higher up the table. I agree with you on that, and they need to figure this out, figure out which team they want to be, and that's going to lead me to the second Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, and this one's a good one. Okay, Emilio, do you think Fulham are closer to the team that beat QPR or lost to Wolves?
I'm going to be a little bit controversial and say neither. I don't think we're better than both of them. I actually think, on squad-wise, we've got a better squad than Wolves and a better squad than QPR. QPR, I think, have shown how poor they were against us a week ago. They've got a bit of an ageing squad there. They're going to struggle to adjust to life in the Championship again. Wolves, on the other hand, I think have got a more steady squad, a more experienced championship squad. You know, they haven't started particularly well, but look, two wins and they're back up into the top 10. So we could do the same. You know, we can win away to Charlton. Suddenly we're knocking on the doors of a playoff spot again. So in my opinion, if I had to choose one or two, I think we're closer to Wolves because they're a more balanced, more experienced club at this level and a play for their manager. And I've got good, you know, good experience and good qualities. But in my opinion, we're better than both of them. We should be better than both of them for that matter.
I actually agree with you, Emilio, but just to clarify, I was just talking about performance-wise. Are we closer to that dominant team that we saw against QPR or the team that looked so poor against Wolves is where I was going at?
If anything, I think, you know, I would like to think we're more toward that QPR performance. You know, I think the players are there. We're one of the top scorers in the division. I think we're second or third highest scorers in the division. So that suggests we're going to hurt defences. You know, if we can keep it a little bit tighter, but then let's put the Tuesday night's game aside for a moment. We were 0-0 at the point of the sending off, albeit we were hanging on at 0-0. You know, we lost because of having been down to 10 men. So take that disappointing, you know, defeat out of the equation. We are pound for pound, point for point, better than we were a year ago. Should we be higher? Yes, we should. But can we push on from where we are? I still believe we can. I've always said before the season started, before the transfers, top eight was a realistic, you know, position for us to finish. And I won't change my mind. I still think we can hit top eight, if not higher. But we need some consistency, continuity. And if we play a little bit more often, like we did against QPR, and keep, you know, long-term possession of the ball, dominate those games like we did against QPR, then we can push up the table. But invariably with Kit's teams, we dominate for 30, 40 minutes and then we lose our way, and like we did against Blackburn. We were lucky to get away with a 2-1 win that game. So, but Wolves are tight, they're organised and solid. QPR, I think we'll struggle. Honestly, I think they'll struggle.
Right, and what's interesting about talking about these two matches, because it also shows the differences of styles in the league, because you're talking about a team that plays, you know, again, with one man up front. We're talking about QPR. Mm-hmm. And when they're going, they can be moving. Then you're talking about a team that's really tight, that plays solid defense. We're talking about Wolves with a really, I want to say, a physical team, two very decent center backs, and that can really bully you around at times. A team that's difficult to break down. And we're not intimidated by Fulham, and actually made it difficult for Fulham to play. So the way I look at it, the way that I've been thinking about this topic that I was putting up there, Emilio, I think Fulham actually are better than both teams, but the way I was going on this, I think Fulham are closer to the team that beat QPR, meaning that I think we can see more performances like this. I think the issue is going to be when we play teams that play different styles, that play a more physical style, that won't let us play. We're going to have to find other ways to win, and Kit talks about that in this audio clip that I'm going to play shortly. That's going to be the development of Fulham Football Club, Emilio. How can Fulham win when the other team has basically found them out and found a way to combat what they're doing? They're going to have to adapt during a match and find a new way to win.
Yeah, and I think, again, if we look at the Wolves game up to the point of the sending off, we were second best, and David mentioned that on a few occasions on the show earlier this week. And again,
right,
we looked a bit flat. We felt a bit like last season's goal. We were a little bit slow from midfield. We were bullied in midfield on Tuesday night. We looked lethargic. We looked slow. And again, the old saying goes, you know, Jose Mourinho for our neighbours down the road in the previous season. They won the Premier League winning 1-0 here and 1-0 there, but they knew their defence would never leak any goals. You know, I'd rather we win 2-0 twice rather than winning 4-0 once and losing 3-0 another game. So, again, it's not always the right thing to win comfortably one game and then all those goals dry up and then you end up losing your subsequent games. But at the end of the day, this is tactics. You know, I think it was documented in the last show that, you know, tactically, you know, he was found out again. Kenny Jackett on Tuesday night made the tactical changes at half-time, and that made the difference to the game. I think we would have lost either way, but it was a dominant, rampant Wolves performance in the second half. We had no response. We had no answer. And Kit was helpless. You know, he used the excuse that the player was sent off and we're down to 10 men. But we could have done something to either protect the one-goal deficit or two-goal deficit rather than actually just keep the doors open. It could have been a humiliation at one point. And that's more because of Wolves' bad finishing as opposed to us preventing them or challenging them to, from scoring further goals. So, so again, tactically, Kit's all over. It's a bit like the stock market's 1 minute up, 1 minute down. And he'll learn his trade. But there are still signs to suggest we haven't won many games well enough this season. Rotherham possibly away, Blackburn we were lucky, and QPR we were rampant. So again, it's inconsistency there.
I couldn't agree with you more. And it's funny because when I play the audio clip, there's one thing in it that I definitely want you to hear, and I will ask you afterwards if you picked up what I'm talking about, because it goes to what you're talking about with adjustments, specifically talking about halftime. So again, I will play that shortly. But before I do that, I want to share some of the comments from the Fulham supporters on this roundtable question. I want to start with Matthew Vitiella. I sadly believe that the result against QPR was the anomaly. I think we're very far away from a side that can push for promotion like Wolves, Middlesbrough, and Derby. Okay, Callum Gallagher said, sick the negativity from the so-called supporters. Compared to last year's start, it's a drastic improvement. Okay, Grant Harris says, I don't think it's the team, I think it's Kit. Hate to say, but it seems to be the case. Steve Lydiard said, the squad have shown they're more than capable. As we've discussed a lot, I'm not of the opinion it's Kit not getting the best consistently. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm of the opinion it's Kit not getting the best consistently. So he's Steve, like Grant is like Grant is putting it on Kit. Okay. Roger Lewis says there are no different to perhaps any Fulham team I've watched since 1954. You never know what you're going to get from week to the next. Okay. Will John said potential to be the team that beat QPR every game with new manager. Otherwise, it's Fulham bingo. And Thea Evans said, sadly, the stats show that the QPR result is a rare event. Consistency is the key to getting out of the championship, and Fulham a long way from that. An improved set of players and set of lineup are the building blocks, but something is missing. The only thing I can come up with is motivation. Okay, Emilio. It's funny because, again, going through it, we have some different opinions, but we do have several that are pointing the finger at the Fulham manager. What are your thoughts?
Not surprising, to be honest. I think it's easy to blame the manager. I think when things aren't going well, you always look at your leader, don't you? And I think, you know, people, you know, have made the decisions about Kit, and I think it's going to take more than just a victory against QPR, 4-0, for people to change their minds. You know, a lot of the people sitting on the fence or in the Kit out camp will have maybe, okay, nice to get a win against your local neighbours. Let's see what he can do in the next game. And they'll probably right in the sense that we did very little against Wolves in the following game. So it's big match against Charlton on Sunday. But, you know, you're looking at the points table. Again, what was it? We've got 11 points from 9 games. That's now, you know, you average that out for the next 40, you know, the next 36 games or whatever it is. It's, we're not going to get more than 55 points. And that's not far off from being a bottom six, bottom seven team. So our points average needs to increase significantly. I don't think we've had the hardest start of the season. We've had a couple of tricky away games at Hull and Cardiff, but you look at our home games, points dropped against Huddersfield, lost to Brighton, who are top of the league, but to be honest, is the quality of the Championship weaker this season? You know, there's a question out there to throw out to the College Talk community on Facebook. You know, I think it's going to be a closer division this year. I don't think there's going to be a standout team. Middlesbrough will probably win the Championship because they've got the experience and probably will make up for their disappointing end last year. But the rest of the teams are all beating each other. Brighton, yeah. Reading, Hull, Cardiff, Birmingham. Burnley, I would predict as being an approach team, are sneaking into that playoffs. I think they're winning against Rotherham tonight. So I see Middlesbrough and Burnley being my two promoted teams. But there's a lot of points that are up for grabs and teams are taking points of each other, more so this season than last year. So we can't afford to go on a three-game defeat or streak of losing games because we'll get sucked right back into the bottom three. But win two or three games, you're back in the top six. So it's all up for grabs, in my opinion. And you may be able to get into the playoffs with one of the lowest points tally on, you know, in recent seasons.
Listen, it's a very even league, and I'm glad that you brought that up because it's funny. Right before this show began, I was watching the Burnley match. And I got to tell you, Rotherham United were giving Burnley everything that they could handle. Burnley ended up winning 2-1. But it just shows how even the league is, Emilio. You know, I don't see anyone, you know, and again, I know Brighton's on top of the league. I don't see them running away with it. You know, I think Middlesbrough has a lot of talent. But they're not. I don't see anyone running away, and I see so many teams around each other. So the points are there to be taken. It's going to take a hot streak. It's going to take a situation for Fulham to really just, like you said, if you get three or four in a row, look, you're in the top six, and then if you can keep it going, keep it that pace, you never know where you can go. But it's a matter of getting on that roll. Can they get on that roll? Can they get consistent performances that will lead to consistent points? Because, again, I'm not expecting them to be QPR, have that result every week. It's, you know, again, that is difficult to do. But I don't think it's too much for me to ask to get victories against a team like Charlton, which, honestly, I think that they can beat. Just find a way to win, just like Burnley did tonight, Amelia. Find a way to win. It doesn't matter how they won. They won. They won 2-1. They scraped by. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how it looked. All that matters is that Burnley got the 3 points and Rotherham United did not. And if they could start putting together victories like that, you know, again, we could say what we want. That's how they beat Rotherham United. You know, again, all it takes is to string a couple of these victories together, three or four of them, and then who knows where we can take it. All right, I'm sorry, I'm going off on this tangent here, but you know me, my friend, I'm a glass half full, and I think we're closer to the team that beat QPR than we are the team that lost to Wolves. I think we're closer because I see the potential of us scoring a lot of goals. It's going to come down to not leaking goals, and I think as time goes by, that back four is going to get tighter and tighter, especially those center backs when they learn to play together. And that's why I have confidence that we can fight for top six, and I'm not backing down from that. All right. Let's move on. I'm going to play the audio clip now with Kit that he did earlier with Sarah. And again, it's about 7 minutes long. I'll just play it, and then I just want to get your thoughts, and then we'll go right into our preview. Sound good, my friend?
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Here's Kit. You can actually watch this on the Fulham website, but here's the audio version of Kit Simons.
Kit, we talked before the game against Wolves on the importance of that consistency, and clearly it didn't quite work out on Tuesday evening. What went wrong? Obviously the red card had an enormous factor on the result of the game, and how do you go about starting again?
Yeah, big disappointment. Even up until Tom getting sent off, we hadn't played anything like the levels of obviously of the QPR game on Friday, but it, you know, it's difficult to play at that level all the time. So, you know, 0-0 with the 11 men on the pitch, I wasn't particularly happy, but I thought, listen, we'll get in at half time, have some words and maybe change the system slightly, and fully expected us to go out and with an improved second half and still go and win the game. Obviously, the sending off changed the complexity of the way we were going to play, and had to change the game plan dramatically. Even that said and done, second half they had loads of possession, as you would expect, but they only had sort of four worthy efforts, and three of them ended up in goals. So it was disappointing, but we put it to bed. We looked at the video the next day, I spoke to the players, and we spoke about this consistency again, and it's just, you know, don't get too euphoric when you get a great result and performance like QPR.
But do you think it was a hangover from that? Because the boys seemed totally up for the game on Tuesday night, and it just,
yeah,
the performance, as you said, just didn't seem to replicate it. And I know how tough that is to do, but it you know, it was a very different performance.
No, it was. And, you know, I think we need to give Wolves a bit of credit for that, because they started very brightly and sort of got on top in the first half. But yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to get the mindset where you win a game of football, that's our job, that's what we do, we move on to the next one. And it was, you know, there was a lot of razzmatazz after the QPR one, and we got a lot of accolades and all this, and brilliant, you know, we did play really well, but it's still only 3 points, and I want to get that mentality that whatever the performance and the result, you know, if it's a win, it is still only 3 points, you move on, you try and get the next 3 points. And because that's what we do need is to get a bit of consistency and just start churning out results. And you know, they're not always going to, you're not going to play sort of four or five games on a spin like we played against QPR, that type of football, because there's a problem in football, and that's the opposition. You know, they're not going to let you do what you want to do. So you've got to be able to deal with that and find
things,
a way.
Like they do their research, they understand what your strengths are, what your improvement areas are, and they will play to stop you from playing your own game.
Exactly, and that's why we need like a balance within the team and within the squad, that we can have different ways of winning a game. You know, it's not always going to be by that beautiful free-flowing football. You know, that's great when you can do it, and I think I love to see it, and I know the fans do and the players love to play that way, but teams will stop you doing that. You know, these are the well-organised teams with experienced managers who know the Championship inside out. So we've got to find another way then sometimes, and you know, that might be from a scruffy set piece or whatever. I'm not bothered, but it's finding a way is what's key and what's important.
So to Charlton on Sunday, another London derby live in front of the cameras. How difficult is that kind of early kickoff mentality going to be, especially when it's in a London game? Presumably you'll be in a hotel on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only difference really. You know, for Charlton we'd normally go on a day, but with it being the early kickoff, we've sort of got to go overnight. But it's like a normal away game, so that's no big deal at all. No, won't that, you know, the early kickoff won't play any part in it, and you know we've begun our preparation for the Charlton game now. We'll continue that tomorrow in training, and we'll be in a good place come Sunday morning.
And you talk about consistency. So again, a great opportunity to get another 3 points. That's cementing in the top half of the table, and just the gradual kind of improvements that you can make as a team to get that consistency going. How does that happen?
Well, everything's right about the football club. You know, the way the players train and prepare. For me, to get the end result, it's the people need to be right, and then the process needs to be right, and that gives you the right outcome. And you know, I'm delighted with the people we've got at this football club, the players, the staff. I'm really pleased with the way we work. You know, there's a lot of planning, a lot of structure. We give the players a lot of information which they're able to take on board, so the process is really good. And you know, that will lead to the right outcome. So I'm very confident in the way things are going. The whole football club is a good place to be, you know, and it's the players love coming to training. I love coming to training. Match days can be torture, granted, but the prep for it and the build up and the way we're recovering, that is excellent. So it's all going in the right direction. Now, cohesion for me is a massive thing. We've got the right group of people. We need that cohesion now, and that can take a little bit of time. It will get better all the time, so we need to make sure the results are good enough now, and they'll continue then to get better and better as the cohesion builds.
And the straight red card, obviously it's a blow. That's Tom out for 3 games. In terms of selections, you've got Jazz Richards now available, I believe, and also Luke Garber, who will be like a new signing.
That's right, yeah. Obviously, you know, Garbs came in and we were really excited about obtaining his services. He picked up the nasty injury against Palace in the last pre-season game. So he's back in full training now and played 60 minutes against Derby for the under-21s and sailed through that. He's great to have back on board. So he'll be in contention for Sunday. Jazz, as you say, coming back. Hopefully Ryan Fredericks, who came off against Wolves, will be okay. Matt's coming on really, really well. He'll be in training with the Bulls next week now. He's increased his running. He's been doing individual ball work with the physios at the moment. And we're hoping that he'll be in with the team. It'll be modified training to start with, but he can come and join in quite a bit of the training as from next week. We're very hopeful. Just need to tick a couple more boxes first. But he's coming on and looking good as well. So
as far as you're concerned, you've got the options there. You know what team you're going to pick for Sunday's game. And it's all very positive.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, really, really positive. Like I say, it's a good place to be. You know, out training this morning, the sun was shining. It was really good. And you know, the boys are flying around with a good tempo to the training and lots of good quality as well. So no, it's all going in the right direction. Just a couple more wins.
We wish you luck.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back, and that was an interview done earlier today, which is Friday, with the full manager, Kit Simons, by Sarah Brooks, Director of Communications. As always, thank you, Sam Green, for sending me the audio clips that I can play during the show. We can talk a little bit about it. Before I go to Emilio, I just want to mention, during that interview, you heard Kit mention that Luke Garbutt could is now available for selection, along with Jazz Richards. They are available, and they're also going to see if Ryan Fredericks will be available for Sunday. He's unsure about that, but we will see, and we'll find out on Sunday if he can play. But again, that was some of the news to come out of that interview with Kit Simons. And Emilia, what did you make of that interview that I just played?
It's mixed, really. To be honest, it's the usual sort of dourness of Kit Simons. He sort of 1 minute can sound really optimistic, confident, bullish. Next minute can sound really dour, depressing, etc. So, you know, I'm sure that all the way he comes across, his persona, his mannerism, and his body language, his voice sometimes doesn't inspire morale within the team. So I think it's a general feeling. Maybe that's just the way he is. That he's quite a dour person overall. And I think that negativity, that sort of negative vibes at times, I think gets felt amongst the squad. The fans feel it, and I'm sure the players on the pitch feel it as well. So that's a very predictable interview in my opinion. But you know, he focused heavily on consistency. We all know that needs to improve. But you know, if anything, we are a little bit more consistent than we were last season. You know, game of the season against Hull City rings the bell. We would have lost that 3-0 last year. This year, we lost late 2-1. You know, Huddersfield, we probably wouldn't have got away with a draw last season, but we got away with a last-minute or injury-time equaliser this year. QPR, we dominated that game for the best game under Kit Simons. We never had any performances like that last season. So there's definitely room, you know, there's definitely positives. There's improvements from last year. The squad is stronger. New signings are having to take time to gel. So I think there's all focus on consistency there. But on the flip side, there was this business mindset. I know I often mention it when I'm on the show that, you know, there was a Mike Rigg type of interview there where he was focused on people, process, structure, outcome, patience. That's all about a business model. So right. You want a business, i.e. a football club, to be successful, you need to have the right people, the right model, i.e. the process, the right shape, the right structure, the right outcomes, i.e. the outcome is, you know, you want to be more successful, get promoted and get returned back to top flight. So he was very much talking like he owned from the football club in many respects by focusing on the business elements of the club. And then that implies to me, let's just not get carried away. We won 4-0, and he also made the point, what I said earlier, with our neighbours down the road. Jose Mourinho used to win 1-0 week in, week out. That won in the Premier League. You're not going to win the championship winning 4-0 one week and losing 3-0 the week after. Let's win, but win, you know, steadily. Don't always have to win 4-0. It'll be nice occasionally, but get the 1-0s, the 2-1s, the 2-0s. Wins are wins. I don't care how you get them. As long as you're playing reasonably well, that generates confidence. But winning heavily one week and losing heavily the week after, that's not doing anything for consistency and confidence. So overall, typical Kit Simons interview, but I think there was a message there is we need to be more consistent. We are going down the right path, but let's not take away those business components of the club, i.e. the people, process, structure, outcome, and being patient as a squad, team, and set of fans. So that's what I took away from that interview.
Okay, very good. And I think you analyzed that real well, because, again, if you think about it, you're talking about the business model and the long-term future of Fulham Football Club. That seems to be a little bit of a theme, like you're talking about building something long-term. But then, of course, you're talking about to get there, you've got to have consistency. And he mentioned that as well. And finding different ways to win. That was the one thing that stood out for me, Emilio. You know, I would like us to win like we did against QPR all the time. But again, it's not realistic. You know, you have to find different ways to win. When a team doesn't allow you to play the way you want to play, then it gets to a challenge. Then you got to say, okay, I really have to grind this one out. Maybe we score a goal off of a set piece, like he mentioned. Maybe we just get it in the net somehow. We force it in somehow, you know, AKA, backup plan, second plan, Matt Smith comes on and just heads it in the back of that. You know, again, just different ways to win. And that to me is that, believe it or not, I think that's a good message. But like you mentioned, Emilio, for everything that happened in that Wolves match, everyone's feeling bad, and I'm feeling bad too. You brought up a point that I don't think is undeniable. If you compare it from last season to this season, even in the losses, we are much more competitive. We are closer to where we want to be. And that is progress. Now we just need consistency. So I guess that's where I'm going with Fulham Football Club, and that's kind of what Kit Simons was projecting in that interview. All right, Emilio, let's get right into our preview of Charlton Athletic. And like I mentioned, I definitely think this is a winnable match. I know it's on the road. This is a team I think Fulham match up very well with, and I'll explain as we go through this. Let me just give you some information on Charlton. They are currently 17th with 9 points, and they have a -3 goal differential. Fulham are currently 14th with 11 points with a +1 goal differential. players to watch include Tony Watt and Simon McCarrick, who are the leading goal scorers with two apiece. And another player to watch is midfielder Johan Berg-Gudmundsson. They tend to play 4-4-2, but they can play other formations. Here are their strengths according to WhoScored.com. Again, like I always do, I recommend everyone go to WhoScored.com to really get some great stats and information on Fulham's opponents and, of course, on Fulham as well. Here are the strengths they have down for Charlton Athletic. Shooting from direct free kicks, stealing the ball from the opposition. Here's the flip side. Here are the weaknesses, and there are several. Finishing scoring chances, protecting the lead, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas, defending against attacks down the wings, stopping opponents from creating chances, avoiding individual errors, defending set pieces. Okay, and this is what WhoScored.com has as Charlton style. Attempt through balls often, short passes, attack through the middle, playing in their own half, which I find interesting. And this is the one that stood out to me, Emilio. Non-aggressive. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that gives you a little bit of a background of what I learned today, a little bit on Charlton Athletic. Like I said, I watched a good amount of video, and the one thing that stood out to me was the last comment of the style being non-aggressive and being poor on set pieces, being poor on crosses, being vulnerable down the wings. Emilio, I think this team matches up very well with Fulham because I think they can take advantage of these weaknesses. What are your thoughts on what I just shared?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, at the end of the day, it's the fact that we're one of the highest scorers in the division. I think we've always got goals in our squad. I think that's quite key. And I think the fact that they've conceded, 12 goals and only scored 9. So they're not setting the world alight. They're not scoring many goals. And I think we need to sort of take some comfort from that. And, at the end of the day, if we can be, play a pressing game right from the off, play direct. I think on Tuesday night we were a little bit too slow. We saw too many sideways passes in the early 15, 20 minutes. And we need to be a bit more urgent, like we did against Blackburn at the beginning of that game, against QPR for most of the game. And if we do that, I think we can get at them. We, their defence are susceptible. But at times I want us to be less complacent. Even against QPR, we weren't as arrogant in some respects. And I blame Mr. McCormack for that. And don't do the fancy stuff. Do the basic stuff. Do what football players should do. Do the right stuff. You will score more goals. I think at times we're a bit wasteful in the final third when we're in good positions. I think Charlton won't concede many goals. I said on average just slightly over one goal a game they've conceded, less than us. So they're not as easy to break down as Fulham are. But the opportunities are there. We've got, if McCormack can start basically get out the right side of bed on Sunday morning and actually start leading from the front as a captain and play what he's more than capable of playing, then he will hurt that defence. He will win those free kicks. We can create havoc from those set pieces. But at times I just feel that we're just a little bit too complacent. We're wasteful in good positions. And I think that needs to change, not just for the Charlton game, but going forward, because sometimes it's the difference of just one goal here and there that might make the difference between 3 points and a draw. So the Charlton are there for the taking. But, they're very much a family club like Fulham. They won't set the world alight at times, but, we can get 3 points from the game, but what attitude do we have from the whistle at half time or midday? So let's see. I'm confident we can get something from the game. Whether we can win the game, I'm not too certain. But they are there for the taking, and I think it'll be a nice local derby because they are a London club. And
right.
I think it'll be an open game, and I don't think there'll be much in it.
Okay, very good. And listen, I respect Charlton Athletic. Again, like you said, a family club, just like Fulham, that's great. And, again, they're heading in the right direction. But, Emilio, after what I watched and what I researched, I have a good feeling about this. I think this, like you mentioned, I think it's a winnable match. I think that they should definitely get something out of it. But I truly believe that they can win this match. But they have to take it to this team, especially the fact that this team's not aggressive tells me that Fulham can take it to them even on the road. So that's what I'm hoping we see on TV. I'll be watching on TV. I'm looking forward. I shouldn't say everyone, because there'll be fans that will be there, and I'm sure we're going to have a very big crowd. But, again, I think you nailed it with Fulham. When we have a team down, we need to really go full throttle. We need to be more clinical. We need to finish. It's all about finishing, Emilio. When you have opponent down, you need to finish them off. I hate to put it that way, but that's the way it is. That's what frustrated me a little bit about the QPR match. I thought we could have put it away even sooner than we did. And I thought we could have scored even more goals. I'm going to be honest with you. So I want to see them just keep on going. Do not put the foot off the throttle and just keep on going. All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Nothing.
All right, Emilio.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I was going to say this is the difference in this season and last season. Last season, you know, we all knew we would regularly concede two or three goals, but we're capable of scoring three or four goals each game as well. And funnily enough, at times, so if we can play a pressing game, we've got the quality there. We've got you got McCormack, Dembele. Let's not forget Dembele. He's been causing defenses a handful of the last few games. And again, you know, they're not an aggressive team. They weren't like Dembele bullying them. So let's get Dembele at them. Let him stretch that defence. Get those corners, those free kicks. You know, he'll give him a chance in the 6-yard box. He'll punish you. So Tuesday night he got absolutely zero service. But give him the ball where it counts. He will punish you. But all the hard work he's doing, stretching those defences, running down those channels, you know, winning free kicks in good positions. You know, he could make a difference on Sunday.
Okay, so would someone like Moussa Dembele be your key player for this match, for him to take advantage of this defense?
I think absolutely. I think McCormack, you know, we still haven't seen the Ross McCormack of, you know, consistently. So going back to the adjective there, we need to be more consistent. Ross McCormack needs to generate the level of performance that he's capable of playing at and keeping that consistent week in, week out. You know, I honestly think we should strip the captaincy away from him. I've said that right from the beginning. I don't think he's the right player to be captain of our team. Whether Scott Parker regains his position and ultimately gets that captain's armband, or whether it could potentially go to Jamie O'Hara. But I actually think the captain's armband is affecting his performance, and I'm not seeing him leading from the front, not both as a player and as a captain. He's, you know, his petulance, arrogance, his dives, his moaning, groaning, that doesn't inspire the right level of behaviour amongst some of the younger players in the team. So, I've questioned why he's captain, and let him focus on what he's there to do. And he's not captaining the team. When the chips are down, you need players around you, you know, your captain to look up to, not to see a captain who's a spoiled little brat.
Okay. Very, very interesting take there, Emilio. Okay, I think you've already pretty much mentioned it, but so I'm just going to ask you, would it be really just taking it to Charlton from the get-go be what Fulham need to do to win this match? Basically, just go at them and then just don't let up the pressure for as much of the 90 minutes as possible, just really attack them from the get-go?
Yeah, I think it's all about being organized, playing with good shape. You know, we've got, you know, defence, you know, game on game, they're going to become a little bit more confident. You know, that defence is starting to feel a little bit more comfortable and secure. But the midfield, you know, we've got Tunnicliffe, who I think is playing the best form of his Fulham career at the moment. Just, you know, I'm not a big fan of his, but, you know, I'll give a player credit where it's due. He's probably been my best man of the match the last two games, in my opinion. And that's, you know, that's saying something from me. So he's keeping it tight to midfield. You know, this will be a good game for him to, you know, to stamp his authority in that middle of that pitch. And, you know, Jamie O'Hara, you know, more than capable to protect the midfield. So I think McCormack will hopefully have more of a free rein here, start taking some control. And, you know, and that link-up play with Dembele, I think that relationship is working well. I see that going places this season. And as long as they both stay fit and build that rapport, then we're going to get a lot of productivity from them to being our two forward men. But we've just played with decent shape against a similar-ish type of team, then, you know, the least we can get is a point from this game. But let's not make stupid defensive mistakes. Let's not concede unnecessary fouls on the edge of the box. Let's not concede too many corners. That's where we're going to be exposed and we'll be punished from set pieces and corners, where defensively we're still very naive and weak.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, you basically want us to play solid with a very good shape and just make sure we keep it tight. But you also want them to go at them when we have the ability to.
I don't need to be much in the game, to be honest. Okay. But I think it's all about keeping our shape. And, you know, I'd like the starts to start positively, but we're away from home, don't forget. So, again, we're going to have to obviously take a slightly different perspective. But let's go out there with a positive frame of mind. Let's put the Wolves game behind us and bring some self-belief back in the squad that it's a game that we can get 3 points from. But it's, you know, it depends what side of the bed the players wake up to on Sunday morning and getting into shape. But the players are there, and we're more than capable of beating an average Charlton team.
Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. Amelia, I want you to predict the starting 11 for Kidd. Again, this isn't what you would go with. This is what you think he's going to go with on Sunday.
I think on the whole, I think we've discussed the LBC for Kidd. I think James Richards, I think, will return back in defence. I think that's inevitable. You know, something inside me is saying, you know, James Hardman had a poor game against Wolves. He gave a great cross for one of the goals against QPR last week, but you know, James husband hasn't set the world alight either. So is Kit going to take a risk and put two injured, you know, recently injured fullbacks back into the starting 11? He may surprise us. You know, I don't think Garbutt will start tomorrow on Sunday. I think he'll probably be on the bench, but I think he'll keep a pretty much similar team. LBC for Kearney and Jazz Richards come in for Fredericks. Fredericks, I don't think, will start. I'd be surprised if he's even on the bench, to be honest.
Okay. So you're going with pretty much a similar lineup that he has played the last two matches, except for the changes, like you said, without Kearney. You're going with LBC, and then you're going to go with Jazz Richards because you believe, you know, again based on the situation with Ryan Fredericks, you know, we're going to assume, you know, that you should never assume, but I'm going to assume as well that he's going to go with Jazz Richards, and then on the other side, stick with James Husband because, like you said, you can't imagine two players just coming off of injury. He's going to start, and I agree with that. Okay, that's still a solid lineup for me, my friend. That's a solid lineup. Okay, it's time to go. It's prediction time. I have a few predictions from the phone support, just a few, and I'm going to start with Tom and Aram. This is right on the Cars Talk Facebook page. He says, bounce back with a 2-0 win. Kevin Gower also has a 2-0 win. Dan Layton has 3-1 to Fulham. Woodrow to make the impact. Very interesting. Tom Ward, yeah. 3-1 win for Fulham. So very interesting. Everyone so far, again, we only have a few predictions, but everyone is predicting a Fulham victory, and it seems like it's a two-goal difference. Okay, Amelia, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I think I've alluded to the fact that it is a winnable game, but I'm actually going to stick to a 1-1 draw. I think I think I'm going to be more cagey, more sort of sitting on the fence. We're not consistent enough. Going back to that same old adjective, we're not consistent enough, home or away, this season. We're playing better, but we're not consistent enough. And we're not setting the world alight. Away performances have been poor this season. So the game is there for the taking, but I'm not sure if we've got enough belief, desire to go out there and win the game. It'd be nice if we can scrape a win in injury time, or even if we win 3 or 4-0. But a win's a win. Whether you win 4-0 or 1-0, it's only 3 points. So you know, as long as we win the game, stay injury free, get confidence back, then that will take us a good way forward to playing against Middlesbrough in the next league game. But I'm going to stake for a 1-1 draw. I think it will be tight. We've got enough players to win the game, but it's how Kit sets the team up. Now that will be the difference. If you set them up in the right way, there's belief, there's the right frame of mind, the right attitude, then we can potentially go out and sneak a 2-1 win. But on the whole, if I had $100 to put a bet on the game, I'd put it on a 1-1 draw.
Okay. All right. Well, Amelia, you know I'm Mr. Positive, and I can't change who I am. So I am going to predict a Fulham victory. I'm not going to be as bold as I was against QPR, but I do see an opportunity here. And I know it's on the road, and I know it's difficult to win on the road. I get that. So here's my thinking on this. I think Fulham are going to win this game, and I think they're going to win. The scoreline I'm going to predict is going to make it look like more lopsided than what I believe. I think it's going to be tight. I think they're going to win 3-1, but I think it's going to be 2-0. They're going to give up a goal, and we're going to have a nervy ending. They're going to score a goal late to make it 3-1. And I'm actually going to say that Moussa Dembele is going to score 2, and Ross McCormack is going to score 1. I think Dembele is ready to break out, my friend. And I think this is, again, a team that I think he can take advantage of his skill set. I think it was a tough matchup for him against Wolves because they were physical with him. And I think he might have more luck here against Charlton Athletic. So that's where I'm going on this. I'm going to say 3-1.
Okay, I hope you're right. We are capable of winning that game. You know, I don't see them being that much better than Rotherham United, for example, where we won 3-1. Game's there for the taking. We'll certainly bring a good following with us. You know, we're only playing a team down the road from Fulham, but You know, again, it's all around formation, attitude, and shape. And you know, if Kip can get them out of bed early on Sunday, and kick them up the backside, and give them the confidence that he needs, and you know, we can go out there and win comfortably. But it's, you know, we're not consistent enough. I think that's the difference. And you know, we stop the rot after 3-0 defeat and start getting back to winning ways. Great, but it's I'm not as bullish for this game. Even though I'm actually more optimistic than the majority of the fans out there.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, listen. Before we wrap up the show, I just want to mention something that I'm very much looking forward to. I'm actually heading to New York City, Amelia. You know this. I'm heading to New York City. I'm taking the train. I've never actually taken a train from Boston to New York. I'm taking the train tomorrow. And guess who I'm going to see? I'm going to see our Cottage Talk co-host, Mike Gregg, who's in New York City. I'm really looking forward to it. Mike is actually going to be watching the match in New York City Sunday morning. Unfortunately, I cannot be there for that. He's going to be there very early in the morning. The match starts, believe it or not, Amelia, at 7 o'clock in the morning here. So that's the reason why I'm going up. I'm going up tomorrow to see Mike, spend some time with Mike, and it should be great. I saw you last year. These are the types of things that I look forward to doing, and I look forward to seeing my Cottage Talk host. You mentioned you've never met him in person.
No, I've never met Mike in person. You know, we only sit, two or three, about half a block, or, you know, half the stand away from each other, but we've never actually physically met. So you're going to have the luxury of meeting him before I have yet. We're literally only a few aisles away from him. So, yeah, I hope you enjoy the experience. Wish him all the best from me. I hope you get good moment with him. And, yeah, say hello and talk Fulham Football Club. And let's both of you to share some more of your confidence to Mike. Mike's unfortunately gone down the other path and being a little bit doom and gloom. It's not all doom and gloom, Mike. So hopefully you can share some of that positive vibes to him.
Well, hopefully my positivity will rub off on Mike tomorrow when I meet him. You know, because you know me, I'm a glass half full guy, and Mike, you know, Mike wants Fulham to win as much as anyone, and hopefully he will be watching a Fulham victory Sunday morning, which would be great. And the great thing about it is that the match is being televised in the UK, but it's also being televised here. So that's a wonderful thing. It's going to be on BN Sports here on Sky Sports in England. So it's another televised game, and hopefully Fulham will show us a very good performance and hopefully 3 points, my friend. All right, it's time to wrap up the show. Anything you want to say before we go, Amelia?
No, just thank you very much for having me on the show tonight. Hopefully we can bounce back on Sunday. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend, having a slight restful weekend. You know, it's been a busy week at work. So, yeah, so hopefully I can put my feet up Sunday lunchtime, watch the game and celebrate a 3 points in the bag. But, yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Listen, this was a great show. I enjoyed every minute of doing this with you, my friend. All right. For Amelia Donnell, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Amelia. Have a good night.
Thanks. Good night, Russ. Thanks for having me on. Take care. Bye.
Boys and